In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, the deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 114. John Senecal's here. Brian Shackman's here. Baseball really feels, Memorial Day, you get into that groove in the Northeast, the weather starts to get nice. I have to tell you, John, before we get into some of the specifics, the American League East is an awesome division.
It's crazy. When you look at like the East compared to the Central is like Little League.
It's and you know, any of these teams, forget about just the records. I mean, there are various points where like the top three teams could be at first place in almost any other division in all of baseball. But just the fact, that you have last place Toronto earlier in the week drops 27 hits and 20 runs on first place Tampa. I mean, there is a point where a team just gives up, but that's crazy.
Yeah, they scored like 7 runs really late because they brought the pitchers in and Vladdy hit a grand slam. But yeah, it's definitely a lopsided win in front of like 10,000 people too at the Trop.
Well, on the flip side, that's crazy. On the flip side, you know, and I don't think we should key on the Red Sox so much, but they won the first couple of in San Diego, but they can't hit. And
they've been like, they can't get anything past like a 3-game winning streak, it seems like.
Right.
In the whole month. And it's got to be frustrating because, like you said, you look at the division, they're not bad if you look across baseball. And
right.
But for them, not bad is not good. Like, you have to be excellent in this division. It's nuts. We talked about it last episode, how we're going to be excited watching it shake out. And I like watching, obviously, the Yankees climb up in the standings. Like, they're the hottest team in baseball since they've coughed up that beginning of May when they coughed it up and barfed all over themselves on Herman's no-hitter in the ninth.
They still don't have Giancarlo Stanton. I think that's what the key kind of is, that the Yankees are the hottest team in baseball, and I think that evidenced by the win on Tuesday night over Baltimore, because they were losing. They were down 4-0.
They've been winning.
My point is, and it's like in contrast to something like I look at the South, they win close games.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox were good earlier in the season of coming back, but the fact that the Yankees are winning close games, and again, like I don't know if it's my dad or my grandfather, it's like you can say it's only April or May, but like those are games that come September, it's such a good thing that you won that game.
Especially when the division leader and the team you're playing is in front of you.
Yeah.
And they both lost, obviously.
So it's and the fewer teams you have on top of you, the easier it is to make up ground, obviously. You know, when it comes to the wild card, there are some like, I think 6 teams were all within 2.5 something games of each other. I mean, it's really, really tight. It's kind of a bummer.
Seattle right now is 4 out. And like you said, everybody else is within 2.5 games.
Right. I was really unfortunate that Houston, I know their streak got thwarted, but man, even though half the guys have had turnover,
they got Tatuve back.
Who cares? I'm just done.
I am so
the fact
over
that they played their self back into things just kind of bumps me out. I don't know. But anyway, let's get back.
But that division's the same way. I mean, nobody ever wants to win that division, the Astros have been very good. Obviously, we know that over the last 5 or 6 years. But again, that division has always seemed to be kind of blah. Like, nobody ever
step up. I don't feel like it's blah. I mean, I think the Mariners are a decent
team. But they've only been good the last
couple of years. And the Rangers spent, like, you know.
But they suck every year.
I know, but they don't suck this year.
They don't suck yet this year. And okay. You said it yourself because, listen, you know the shape of your baseball club Memorial Day weekend. If you are a general manager, they'll tell you that, right? By Memorial Day weekend, you know if you're going to be going for it or you're going to be selling in another month, right?
Right?
Pretty much. Anything else after that is just pure crazy streak and just crazy baseball that you can come back from. And it's happened before. But that being said, if these teams don't start figuring it out, look at the division in the Central.
The Central
Sox are awful and they're 5 out, and the Yankees are 5 out and they're amazing.
Yeah, the Central is like, it's not even worth our time. But let's go back to the Yankees, because I'm just curious, as to what you credit. I mean, listen, Judge is one of the few big money guys who's delivering, and which I think is impressive that he's doing that. But what is it? I mean, even the other night, I don't even think Cole pitched that great. And they
won. Cole's actually had back to back kind of clunkers in his typical starts. But obviously you can say Judge, right? But I mean, I really think it all started when Harrison Bader. You're
sold on him.
I like him because he brings that energy to the club, you know. And you know you can center him, put him in center field. You don't have to worry about flip flopping Judge around all over the place.
Right.
You can settle him in. And you know, as much as I have screamed about being nervous about the bullpen, the Yankees bullpen has been unbelievable, and that's what's keeping them in the games for these starters. Like Cortez, if he clunks out after the third inning, the bullpen has come in and they have really done the job for the Yankees, and that's kept them in it, and they have gotten the timely hitting. And like you said, you know, good teams come back and win. They don't go down, right? They come back and win, and that's what the Yankees have been doing. So, you know, hopefully we keep the ball rolling. It's looking really good right now. May has been great for the Yanks.
Let's talk a little bit about, so the Aaron Hicks era is over.
Yeah, Chicks is gone.
Now you have nothing. It's like 50% of your complaints are out the door.
Donaldson hasn't come back yet. So, I mean, I believe that they should have let go of Donaldson before.
But that's a lot of money.
Well, it's more money for Hicks. I mean, they owe Hicks more money than they owe Donaldson, because Donaldson's a free agent after this year.
Okay.
Hicks, they're on the hook for like $28 million on Hicks. If, you know, obviously they don't trade him or whatever.
Right.
I think his days are in like another day or so until he can clear waivers. But, you know, Donaldson was probably owed, I would say, maybe $12 million, $10 million after, you know, what's left of it. But I think he had a buyout, too. But still, you know, you look at
Hicks. I thought it was more. It's not.
No, but based on what he makes for the year, he was making like 24. You know, you scaled that back. But I know he did have a buyout. But if you look at what Hicks was on the field, right? Hicks is on the field, and he's a switch hitter. But
if you're on the field and you're a switch hitter and you still can't find love, then you're not doing well.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, he will land somewhere. Aaron Hicks will land somewhere, and the Yankees will be on the hook for it. But like I said before, I don't think he's going to be someone that's going to hurt you. I don't think Donaldson's going to be someone that hurts you. And honestly, you know, if the Yankees were ever to cut bait on Stanton, if he goes to the right team, I don't think he's someone that hurts you, because he's not on the field enough.
Trade him?
Trade him, or if they ever had to cut him loose in another year and a half of his contract or whatever. But Stanton's a huge piece of the puzzle for the Yankees, but if you get rid of him and put him on another team, I don't know if he's that big of a piece of the puzzle, to be honest with you.
Well, that's weird, though, because are you saying you wouldn't mind it if they got rid of him?
Well,
because I feel like
he's not going to play.
To me, there's two factors that would prevent the Yankees from challenging for a World Series. One is the closer, and two is, you know, the hitting protection on Judge. And we've seen, even though they're doing well, Stanton is key to that. So that's strange to me. Are you just saying that because you have this false bravado because they've played well in the last 2 weeks without him?
No, I don't. No, I say that because Stanton's contract is he's around for a long time, right? So they're not going to get rid of him because it's financially it doesn't work. They're going to have to just.
Well, unless somebody took his contract, but I mean.
But who's going to do that? They're never going to take the full contract. They'll take part of it. Now, if they could do that, that might make more sense. I just, like, you have to be healthy to be a contributor, and he's just never healthy. Like, you got to look at it like, is this guy going to burn us if he plays 60 games for another team? Or if he plays 85 games for another team? Or if he plays 100 games for another team? He's not at the stage of his career, age-wise, where he is going to play 150-plus games for someone.
Yep.
So if you look at it across the board, the chances of him coming back and biting you at any part of the season is very slim.
Yeah, but there's a difference between biting you and helping you.
Exactly.
It may not hurt you if he's on another team, but it might hurt you that he's not on your team. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 114 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You haven't been to Yankee Stadium yet, have
not
you?
Not yet, no.
You have any plans?
We got to wait for the baseball high school season to end and then see how the summer schedules are shaking out. It might not be until August.
Are both playing summer ball?
Yeah. And high school is almost over. They got one more scrimmage and then state tournament starts. And they got a home game. They beat Northwest Catholic.
Wow.
Yesterday at Trinity. What a great experience. That field is beautiful.
What do you think of playing? I know, but the turf. I don't like baseball on the turf.
You know, yeah, baseball on the turf is not great. But you If you get turf at the lower levels because they can't maintain the fields,
right,
that's great. But I feel like if you're going to put the money into it and you have a program, grass is the way to go.
Well, they have turf at UConn. They have turf at Trinity.
It financially makes sense.
No, of course it does. But I just don't like whether it's the hop on the line drives or the mounds. I mean, I don't know. All of it seems just
My younger son doesn't complain as much about it. My older son doesn't like it. But I think it's not as much that
You really have to practice for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They don't get the practice on it, and that's the problem. Yeah, if you're not practicing on it. But
so they beat Northwest people who are elsewhere, because we have listeners, honestly, in other continents. You know, his son is a junior at Canton High School here in Connecticut, and they're a small school team. And Northwest Catholic can also draw from different towns, so their sports tend to be a little bit stronger and tougher, although they don't have great fields. And so they played at Division III Trinity College, which is an excellent program, and it's an all-turf field. And I just don't like baseball. You know, it's funny because all the injuries in football, I understand the cost effectiveness of it, and I think at the youth level, you're right, or the town level, it's just I don't like the game on turf.
No, and I don't like all the black little pellets in the shoes that I get everywhere. It's so annoying as a parent.
In the kitchen, it's awful. Brutal.
It's awful. But yeah, they Northwest Catholic, and it's interesting because Northwest Catholic, how it works in Connecticut is there's classes S, M, L, L, which is small, medium, large, double large. And Northwest Catholic is a class S school, but they play all M, L, and double L schools. So their record is terrible. They're like ranked 32nd overall. They're right on the fringe of making the
But if they play an all S schedule, they'd probably be pretty good.
So that's a huge win for Canton, who, you know, they do everybody plays outside of their size, right? But again, they won, so now they got a home game coming up for the state tournament. But then they draw St. Paul Catholic in the second round. And these Catholic schools, obviously,
you draw from different towns.
They're all star teams.
Yeah.
And they already played St. Paul Catholic and they got smoked. So TBD.
So, I mean, when we're talking about high school baseball, it's usually our cue to say goodbye. But I will make one more comment before we go, which is you talked about by May, you know, by the Memorial Day weekend, you know what you got, and then you have a month before you got to make moves. It's just I can't get over how fast, whether it's maybe it's because our kids are older or what, but like the fact that we're at the end of May – it's just wigging me out a little bit because it's too fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's especially this baseball season. This baseball season has been nuts. It's been like, 2 months, 2.5 months has been like anxiety riddled, especially for us AL East.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, I wanted to slow down is sort of my point because I mean, the June and July of just those sweltering days where you're at the ballpark trying to find cover. All right, John, great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
It is a good week. Hopefully we get some wins out of the high school baseball program.
Yeah, but, keep it going.
TBD.
You love it. There are rink rats and then there are field rats. John Senecal is a field rat.
Listen, you know, that is the purest form of baseball. Little League baseball, like as a parent, especially if your kid's good, it's great, right? If your kid's not good, but there's a lot of fun, like, you know, the aspect and all around it is great. But watching that baseball at that level is awesome because that is like really the only time that the kids just generally just play because it's fun. Yeah. Now, you'll say you play, it's fun in high school and all that. That's
well,
not
there's a point where competition eclipses fun, right? And that usually is.
Anytime you're playing for a state title or something like that, it's about winning.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And when the email comes from the coach and it's like, we're going to field the best team to win, there's your answer, right? Yeah. Regardless if it's you don't get cut or not. So, yeah, high school baseball is very interesting. And youth baseball is interesting.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we can have another episode on that entirely.
We can talk about the umpires, too.
Boy. Yeah, we can talk about the decimation of a lot of town teams because of travel. We can talk about all that stuff. Maybe next time. You've been listening and watching, hopefully, to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.